Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 1, while you're turning there. Just mention again the Howards. I hadn't said much about it. I was letting Brother Keith kind of handle the getting up and getting down. But it's good to have the Howards. We appreciate it. Tremendous message, a Sunday school message and about soul winning and winning people to Christ. And we're praying for them and pray the Lord bless and meet the needs they have. And if you would pray for me, I've been sitting down preaching, but I wanted to try to stand up preaching today. And I really need prayers. Because if I don't do well, I'm going to never hear the end of it from my wife the rest of the day. She preferred that I said I am, but I told her, Lord, take care of it, and I know He will, whatever that may be. We're leaving right after the service this morning, going to Lakeland, Florida. Susan's 85-year-old sister that lives in Michigan is down there. She's come in for a few days, and so I figured it was easier to go to Lakeland than to go to Michigan. We did that one time. It was a little far, but pray for us, the rain on the road, and again, if I'm not doing good, she's going to be fussing at me, so that'll be a long trip. Take your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 1. This week, over in the office, Brother Keith and I were talking, and by the way, I want to say I appreciate Brother Keith. He's been a real blessing. He's done a lot of things here that people don't even know about, and I'm excited about what God's doing and what He's going to do through him. But we were talking this week. And he made the statement to me, he said, you know, not too many preachers preach out of Proverbs anymore. And he said, man, there's some good teaching there. So I said, well, I couldn't remember when the last time I preached in Proverbs, so I decided this morning I'd preach in Proverbs and give you something that I hope will be a blessing to you. But the Bible, the book, is full of all kind of wisdom. Actually, it's called the wisdom literature, if you would. Now, there's other books. There's Job, Psalm, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon that all fall within that, the matter of wisdom. But this book focuses on instructing the people in the ways the Lord would have them serve Him and worship Him. You know, today we come, and we don't come today to be entertained. We come today in order to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and lift Him up above all else. The book of Proverbs, a collection of teachings from Solomon to his son, showing the young man how to live in a way that would be pleasing to God. And can I say to you today, that's the only way to raise your children, by the way, is to please the Lord. Raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and teach them the truth of the Word of God. I saw the other day where somebody was talking about young people today when they get to college, they're turning their back on the church. No, they're not turning their back on the church, they're turning their back on God. But what a shame it is, but we need to instruct them. You know, the biggest failure, I believe, in America, I'm going to set this to the side, I don't think I can hold on this way, but the biggest failure I believe we've had in our society, I believe the failure's been in the home. I'm not saying today, I understand we got good people and they have children, but listen, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, ought to be the priority in every one of our lives, in everything we do. And we ought to want our children to know God, to love God, to serve God, and be faithful to God. I look out and I see so many of you that are here in this church that I remember when you were this tall. And I remember when you went to camp. And I remember some of the other things you did. Now you're sitting back there with your family, your children. And what a blessing that is. So Solomon was teaching his son all these things. And by the way, we need that instruction as well. The key verse that we find is in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. And I believe a great verse for the book of Proverbs, if not the greatest in the book of Proverbs. All of them are great, don't misunderstand me. But the Bible said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Our Father, Lord, we come today and we thank you for the opportunity, the privilege we have to be here. And Lord, I do pray that you would bless. I pray that you give me the words, the wisdom, the help that I need. Pray that you'd help me as I stand here today and declare the Word of God. May your name be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. And we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Well, let me ask you this morning, do you want wisdom and knowledge? Do you want wisdom and knowledge? Well, you surely ought to. And if you're a child of God, why wouldn't you? Because that's exactly what the Word teaches us. But notice, he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I want you to know today, and it also, fools despise wisdom, but God wants us to have knowledge, and He wants us to have wisdom. This word in the book of Proverbs is mentioned 18 times on its pages. Fear the Lord, 27 times in the Bible. There's much emphasis placed on fearing the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, it's important, it's imperative that we as Christians fear the Lord. Because if we don't fear Him, we will not serve Him the way we should. We will not do the things that He would have us to do. Therefore, I'd like to take a few minutes this morning and preach to you on the fear of the Lord. I've preached on it many times, but I'm going to tell you, I pray today that God will speak to your heart, help us to understand the fear of the Lord as we follow the idea of what the Lord is saying here, that it might have an impact in our life. I'm asking you this morning, if you would, I'm asking you before we start just for a moment, would you say, Lord, speak to my heart this morning. Don't let this be another message, but let it be one that speaks to my heart. Lord, let it be one that empowers me and gives me what I need to be the child of God that ought to be the mom and the dad that I needed to be. The fear of the Lord resides at the center of our relationship with God. Now again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, so I'll just stop right there. But the fear of the Lord defined. The fear of the Lord, what does it mean for the fear of the Lord? Well, when we think of fear, we associate it with terror. Webster's dictionary said, as a feeling of anxiety, agitation produced by a presence of the nearness of danger, evil, and pain. Now again, for many, that would describe those who saw a snake, went to the doctor and dentist. Don't you just hate to go to the dentist, man? I fear going to the dentist. I finally got one that's kind of got, he deadens it enough that you don't feel the shot's too bad. And again, the extreme dangers that we face. Did y'all see the little girl this week? She took her little guinea pig out in the backyard in Australia. He was running around and a snake grabbed a hold of her guinea pig. She was not about to let him go, and she grabbed that snake by the tail, and she swung him around and swung him around, hoping that he would let go of the gerbil. He didn't. Her dad came out, took the snake from her, and set it down, and he let go of the gerbil. The gerbil seemed happy as it ran off. Now, I don't know. That girl, well, she didn't have much fear, but I ain't picking up no snakes, and I don't care if they do have my gerbil. They can have it. That'll be a good lunch. But the modern English word for fear, in the context in which Solomon is using it, please understand this. Fear of the Lord. Are you afraid of the Lord? No, I'm not afraid of the Lord. He loves me, and I love Him. You said, well, what are you saying? I believe the word that Solomon is talking about here is fear of the Lord will bring about reverence, it'll bring about awe-ness and great respect. I stand in awe when I realize that I'm a child of a holy King. And I tell you today, as I stand here and think about that, all glory to God for what He's done in my life, but surely He deserves my respect. Surely He deserves my awe. And surely He deserves my reverence in His life. The writer of the book is saying that we're to have a deep reverence and respect for the Lord. We're to be awed and humbled by His presence. I'm telling you, you are... coming to the house of God ought to do something for us. Now, again, I know it ought to help us in the Word of God. But coming to the house, just stepping in the house of God. Now, understand, we do not worship this building. But praise God for a building where we can come and worship God. And as we enter into the building, we think about His presence. I tell you today, I stand here understanding that I'm not by myself. He promised me He'd never leave me nor forsake me. He said, Lord, I'm with you all the way even to the end of the earth. I'm glad today that He speaks to our heart. We truly recognize Him as the Creator. Isn't that wonderful? What'd your dad do? Well, He was the Creator of the universe. He just made us who we are. Boy, that's quite an answer. And it's the truth. When we come today, listen, we're listening to what the Word of God is saying to us. And in understanding that, we must put it to practice in our life. Understand another thing about the fear of the Lord. He is our master, and we are His servants. I tell you, God did not save us to just enjoy ourselves and have a grand old time. Although I've been having a grand old time all my life, especially since I got right with the Lord and got back to the place I needed to be. But what we need to understand is He's the master. The Howards are leaving, selling everything they got, and going to Fiji to witness to people there and establish a church that needs to be done. And yet, they're not doing it because they didn't have nothing else to do. They're doing it because He's their master. and they're his servants. And likewise, it ought to be the same in our life. But furthermore, he is our Father. He is our Father, and we are his children. I'm glad today to say, I love that song, I'm a child of the King. Praise God, I'm a child of the King. Not only that, but he's the potter. Some of you have sung about that from time to time. I know Miss Tricia has. And what are we? We're just the clay that he molds us and makes us into what we need to be. The attitude of fearing the Lord will be demonstrated by the respect we have for God, the respect we have for the Word of God, and the desire that we have to tell others about what we have. Somebody said the greatest story ever told. It is the story of Jesus coming and dying on the cross. But friend, you and I have the greatest story ever told, and yet we never tell it. And how important it is that we do that. We can relate to the fear for a child's feelings for his parents. I remember growing up, I feared my daddy, and I love my daddy. I love my daddy, and I miss my daddy. I wish he was back. I wish I had him here, although I'd never take him, my mother, away from where they're at now, and I can only imagine what they're doing. But I tell you what, I had a fear of my daddy, but I didn't have no fear. I'd get in the truck with him and go anywhere he wanted to go or do anything and go with him. I just loved to get along with him. I remember when I was a small boy, I used to crawl up in his lap, and he would hold me, and my mother, they would do the same thing. And yet, we as children realize, at least in my house, that there's punishment comes when you don't obey your parents. So I had another fear. I had the fear of when Daddy said, wait till we get home. That was just a word that you heard, you know, after church. Just, wait till we get home. Lord, I knew what was coming. But then the other was my mother. She said, wait till your daddy gets home. Her cloth belts didn't hurt too bad, but Daddy's leather one really tore us up. But simply put, the fear of the Lord is a deep-seated reverence for God. It causes men, or it should cause men, to want to please God. If there's anything accomplished here today, I pray if anybody here lost, they'll be saved. But other than that, I pray that you'd walk out of here with a deep-seated reverence of God, who He is, and desire to please Him. Boy, we live so much for ourselves and not for God. Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 8, chapter number 8, verse number 13. Genuine fear of the Lord is always, listen to me, always in obedience to the Word of God. The fear of the Lord is always in obedience to the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. In other words, there's some things that we need to understand. If we fear the Lord, we ought to hate evil. We ought to hate arrogancy. We ought to hate the evil way. We ought to hate the forward mouth. And he said there in these verses that he hated these things. It is important that we do not. People who do not follow in God's words do not fear the Lord. Now, I'm not up here today trying to tell you, you better watch out when you leave here today. God's going to strike you down with lightning. I surely don't have the clue on that. And I realize it might happen, but I don't think any of us is going to be in great fear of him doing that to us as we leave. If he did, it'd be for his purpose and his will, and that'd be okay. But yet, as we walk out of here today, we ought to desire to please the Lord. Oswald Chambers said, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas, if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. You know, are we living in the fear of God? Do we dread the wrath that prompts you to holiness? Does respect for Him and His will for the gospel propel you toward obedience and godliness? Does your love for the Lord manifest itself in obedience? Jesus literally said that this was the vital indicator of a love for God. You know what he said? He said, if you love me, in John 14:15, he said, keep my commandments. I'll tell you the way to know whether you fear the Lord or not is if you keep his commandments. I think it's so important that we realize that and understand. So basically, that's the definition I want to give you this morning of the fear of the Lord. It's awe, it's respect, it's realizing what God's done. Then second of all, there's the fear of the Lord defended. According to Proverbs, fearing the Lord will produce certain benefits in our life. By the way, I don't know how long you've been a Christian, or if you are a Christian, But being a Christian has been one of the greatest things that ever transpired in my life when I got born again and have seen God's blessings on me. When we fear the Lord, we'll find certain things to be true. I've already said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I don't know everything I need to know. I don't know everything I want to know. And as long as I'm breathing, I'll continue to learn things that I do need to know. But up until that time, we need to understand that if we're going to have wisdom, we got to have fear. We got to obey the word of God. We got to walk according to the will of God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I tell you today, I'm so glad you're here, because I believe you're here today to receive knowledge and instruction and wisdom from the word of God. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, if you'd like to turn there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So there again, there's two things, knowledge, and fools despise wisdom, but yet the knowledge of God in its understanding. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord, is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Well, what's some great teaching there to teach your son? What great teaching it is there to teach the church. What great teaching it is to understand what God does for us, what He will do, but the fear of the Lord. In other words, somebody said, well, I've never thought much about the fear of the Lord. Well, it probably don't have me. I'm not saying this directly to nobody, but you might not have the wisdom and the knowledge that you need to have, because I'm just telling you what the Bible said. It says three times in those three verses, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And then humility comes before honor. The best place to search for true wisdom is in the fear of God, in reverence, in worship, in offices. Once we grow in the Lord, we must learn. Socrates said, wisdom is knowing that you do not know. You know somebody knows everything? I've met a few of them in my life. But he says, you know, wisdom is knowing that you do not know. And I'd venture to say today, as we live long on this earth, we would die and go to heaven. We still won't be obtained all the wisdom we need. But the beginning of wisdom comes through knowing God. God knows. God knows everything. The wise person will realize how they know nothing, and they'll follow the Lord and be obedient to Him. Listen, where else today can we get our strength? Where else today can we get our power? Where else can we experience the presence of the Creator of the universe except by fearing God and walking in His way? Another thing we have is the fear of the Lord motivates people to holiness. You know, when you fear the Lord, it'll make you live a holy life if you really fear the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about just in words or saying it. It's not going to do any good. But Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. If you have your Bibles, turn there real quick. We're trying to stay there in a place. He said, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In other words, you know, he's not looking for fence straddlers. He's not looking for people that have one foot on one side of the fence and one on the other. He's looking for some people that'll give up everything they have, because He is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and He's given us everything we need if we'll trust Him. There was a man in the Bible named Job. I tell you, to Job, if we read about Job, our hearts will break. And I know anybody that's ever experienced what Job experienced. I know many have lost children. Many have lost maybe cattle. Many have lost their homes. Many have lost all kind of things. And I don't believe any of us ever lost what Job lost. But you know what? Job's one of the greatest examples of somebody that feared the Lord. The Bible said in Job 1, verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, and by the way, somebody said, why would the Lord do this to Job? He did it because He knew Job would stand up and do what is right. He said, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Boy, somebody said, man, he just threw Job to the wolves. No, he didn't. He was teaching Job one of the greatest lessons that we have in the Bible of understanding the truth that God is with us. And again, Hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth. A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. The word escheweth there just means hates. But here's Job. There's none like him on earth, a perfect and righteous man. Now, we all know today there's nobody on this earth that's perfect. He talks us about going in, studying and becoming perfection. And I don't believe any of us, the only perfect person that ever lived was the Lord Jesus Christ. However, we ought to be striving in our everyday life to become as close to perfect as we can and draw into a relationship with Jesus Christ in all that we do. Fear of the Lord ought to motivate us to holiness. I tell you today, living for the Lord, if you really have fear. And by the way, I'm not saying all this. I don't think God's sitting in heaven just waiting for you to make a mistake so he can punish you for it. But I guarantee you one thing, he will punish you if you don't do what is right according to his word. The fear of the Lord prolongs life. Did you know that? The fear of the Lord prolongs life. In Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the days of the wicked shall be shortened. Now, I know some of you is going to say, preacher, I know good people that died young. I understand that. Many things can happen along the roads of life. And good people sometimes go early. Sometimes people go through things that we surely was not expecting. But here's what I'm saying. I'm saying today the fact is, if we fear the Lord, the fear of the Lord will prolong our days. You know why? Because it'll produce holiness. You know why? Because it'll produce a long, prolonged life. And so again, we see the importance of these things. Approximately, now this is a statistic, but approximately 60% of human illnesses can be traced directly or indirectly to fear, sorrow, envy, resentment, guilt, hatred, or any other number of stresses you can think of this morning, is traced directly to that. Add those problems that are caused by alcohol, tobacco, immorality. We can see that a life lived in the fear of the Lord will bring about, or should bring about, obedience to His Word and result in a more healthier existence. The fear of the Lord produces a sense of security. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Thank God he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, and he watches over me and provides my every need. When we're walking with the Lord, we can have confidence that God is on our side. He said in Romans 8:31, what shall they say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I love the church and I love you folks, and I believe most of you love me. I hope all of you do. But the fact of it is, no matter what we think, if we got God, that's literally all we need. Now, we need fellowship. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Thank God. I look forward to coming to the house of God. I'm saddened when I'm not able to be in the house of God. And I plan to be tonight in the house of God. If we make good time, we can get down there and the rain don't hold us up. But we plan to be there. But if God be for us, who can be against us? In the fear of the Lord is the obedience to the Word of God. And when that happens, we'll have fewer insecurities, fewer abandonments, fewer fears. Counsel with people oftentimes, they're going through all kind of trouble. You can ask them several questions. Do you read your Bible? No. Good chance then you're not going to feel like you have security. Do you pray? No. And I know they don't come to church because they're not here. So when they're in my office, I know when they've been to church. I said, well, are you going to church anywhere else? No. Friend, fear of the Lord will drive us to the house of God. It'll drive us to the Word of God. And it'll drive us to a relationship with God and give us the security we need. I tell you, I've had a few things, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not complaining a bit. I say this, I've gone through some things lately and still kind of experiencing some of them. But I'm going to tell you, I get weary and I get tired. But I tell you, there's never no anxiety. I sleep pretty good. If that crazy CPAP machine to stay on my face. I think they tell me that's going to help me sleep. I haven't figured that out yet, but I use it. But I guess maybe it helps me go to sleep because I sleep pretty good. You know why? Because I don't have no anxiety. I don't have no fear of anything else. I fear the Lord. Then we see here, people in this life, the fear of the Lord produces life. The Bible said in Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. When we walk in the fear of the Lord, it makes us stronger spiritually than we could be. The fear of the Lord is a springing fountain. You know, one of the greatest things you can do every morning when you get up, praise the Lord, I woke up this morning. Thank you for another day to serve you, to be faithful to you. Rather than fearing what's coming your way, sometimes often I make dumb mistakes. And I tell you, but you know, most of the time I may have a little fret and spell there for a moment, but then I realize it's all in God's control. There's nothing that I can do to change God's will, and nothing I want to do to change God's will. All I want is God to change my life, to be what I need to be as a servant of Him. The fear of the Lord makes all of life better. Proverbs 15:16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. This verse tells us that it's better to have limited resources and be in God's will, or to be out of God's will and have plenty and all the trouble that comes with it. You know, what a great thought. The verse teaches us better, that's Proverbs 15:16, better to have limited resources. Reckon why? Because my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. The bottom line here is this. When it's the Lord's will, and you're walking in the fear of the Lord is going to take care of you. And by the way, I don't say this in a smart aleck way, but literally it's His responsibility to take care of us when we're doing His will, because He says so according to the Word of God. I believe that I've learned through the years that God's going to meet my needs. He's given me exactly what I need, and He'll continue to give it to me. I'm thankful for where the Lord has brought me and what I'm able to do now. But I remember when we were starting out going to Bible school. I remember when me and Susan first got married. I tell you, we had a big honeymoon. We flew all the way down to Panacea. And that's where we spent a night. And then we got up Sunday morning, and we found a church in Quincy we went to. And then we came home that Sunday afternoon. But I'm grateful today that God has met our needs all the way. I've told the story. I used to work downtown Chattanooga, an engineering firm, when I was in Bible school. You had to park in Chattanooga. It cost. To park in the building, it's $2 or $3 a day. To park in the parking lot a half mile away, it was $2 a day. To park in the parking lot a mile away was about a dollar. And I got there one day, and I didn't have a dollar. And I said, well, the only thing you can do, they put a little ticket on there, an envelope, and you just put your money in the envelope and stick it in the thank box on the way out. I pulled up in there, and guess what? Somebody had forgot to pull their ticket. And it was there. I looked around, didn't see nobody. I pulled that ticket. I laid it on my dash. You said, well, that wasn't yours. Well, it was, because they left it, and they didn't know they left it. And the truth of it is, I never found out who done it. But you know what I said? I said, obviously, God knew I needed it. And by the way, when I say that, when we were in Bible school, a dollar was a big thing. It made a great deal of difference. And God supplies the need. The fear of the Lord produces satisfaction and safety. I tell you today, as we travel this afternoon, I covet your prayers. I surely do. But the fear of the Lord, as long as we go with the fear of the Lord, it produces satisfaction and safety. In Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Man, what a promise. This is a promise from the Word of God. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Pretty good incentive to live for God, isn't it? Than to go through the trouble that all is here if you don't. I want you to know not only will you be satisfied, but God will be satisfied. Because that's exactly what he wants you to do. Every one of us ought to have one goal in our life, just one, and that's to please our Heavenly Father with everything we have. Because if you please Him and fear Him, all those other things will fall right into place as you serve Him along the way. This verse said this kind of person will not be visited with evil. I don't know about you, I don't like evil. I don't like any kind of evil. And of course, at my age, I don't go out a whole lot, and we just when I have to during the daytime. But at night, if we get home and we kind of close up, and that's where we're at. Although people do break into your house, but you know what? God is in control of all these things. The person who walks in genuine fear of the Lord need never worry about going to hell. I talked to a man yesterday. He was telling me he went to the church years ago and said, you know, they taught him that you have to get saved over and over again. And he said, I got tired of trying. Because he said, I never could be good enough for them. I could never be. He said, in other words, I had to, yeah, he didn't come out and say it, but he said, basically, you got to get saved every weekend or if you sin, you're going to die and go to hell. Friend, my Bible said Jesus gives to us eternal life and we shall never perish. Now, I'm not promoting sinning, because if you sin, the Lord in His wrath will chastise you. However, we understand, and I loved it because he told me, I love to hear stories like that. He said, but he's in a Baptist church now. He said, I realize that I'm saved and there's nothing can separate me from the love of God. And he said, you know, makes me want to please the Lord. Yet today, many go through that stage. There's no doubt about Joseph. Wasn't Joseph quite a character? I love to read about Joseph in the Bible. He suffered many trials in his life. But at the end of his life, here's what he could say. In Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20, but as for me, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. I tell you, there's been many things happen to me, and there's been many things happen to you, and it sure seemed like evil to us, but to God, it meant good, because God never does nothing except shape our lives in the way that He wants us to go. I'm grateful for the verse. I loved this verse all my life. When I lost my son, I grew to love it more. I don't understand everything. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. He said, what are you saying? I'm saying literally His death was good, because God does not bring these things into our life. It's good for them to love God. Why is it good? Because if you love God, you're going to serve Him. You're going to be obedient to Him. You're going to walk in His will. It's a negative situation with a positive answer. And again, to think of it, but it's again, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I see people, and don't misunderstand me, when you lose a loved one, there's nothing wrong with sorrow. There's nothing wrong with weeping. In fact, I can't even talk about it without it. God knows your tears, every tear that falls. And He cares about you. But sometimes, remember, God's mind is a perfect mind, and He does what is the perfect will according to His Father. The fear of the Lord brings great blessings. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, in life. I don't know about this. If you went to get a job and they listed all these benefits, you would be excited. But you come to church and we list all these benefits and we walk out of here the same way we walked in, and nothing has changed in our life. And so again, we need to understand, by humility and the fear of the Lord, God will give us riches. He'll give us honor and He'll give us life. And I know today there's people in this building could all stand and say, God's been good to me. To God be the glory. Great things He's done. And I rejoice today the way God has blessed me. Those spiritual blessings that we receive when we fear the Lord. Peace, joy, hope, security, the promises of God, and the presence of God, there will we find abundant life. He said, I'm come that you might have a abundant life, but more abundant life. There's no better life upon this earth than a life lived in the will of God. And I can tell you this from experience now. I left to go to college, I mentioned this, 50 years ago in January. 50 years ago. Have I always done everything, and has God always blessed me, and is God not chasing me? No, He's chasing me. And yes, I haven't always done everything the way I need to be, but I tell you, for the last 50 years, I have found peace and joy and the security that I have in Jesus Christ and the promises of God and the presence of God. The fear of the Lord defined, the fear of the Lord defended, and then lastly, the fear of the Lord a decision. To put it simply, walking in the fear of the Lord is going to have to be an individual decision. Brother Howard said this morning in Sunday school, and rightly so, he said, I can't save anybody. He said he's been witness to his family. We're grave there. He said, I can't save anybody. And he's right, neither can I. But I tell you, I know the one that can. We put our faith and trust in him. Somebody said, well, my mom and dad was Christians. I think I'm a Christian. No, you don't get it. You see, it's your personal decision as to whether you trust Christ. No one can make you do or do it for you. The decision to live a life that is ordered around a holy, reverential respect of God is a decision you must make for yourself. You know, today, no matter how hard you try, and some of you know that you've got friends and we've got people that have left here and people that are not in church anywhere that we used to know, and for some reason they've made the decision that they're not going to lead the kind of life that would be pleasing to God. But all I can say is deciding to walk in the fear of the Lord will produce a better life down here. Boy, this has been, I've had ups and downs. But I'll tell you, none of them compared to the terrible time I had when I ran from the Lord through high school and after. All I can say is, hey, you see them Jeeps? I should have got one when I had a Jeep. But on the back it says, life is good. Listen, friend, if you're a child of God, life is good. But if you're not a child of God, life's not so good. And you'll find that out. If you're saved, you'll never be able to get away with sin. He said in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Revelation 3:19, you need to mark that down. As many as I love, if He loves you and you're a child of God, He will rebuke you. He will chasten you. A life lived in the fear of God will tell on you. If you fear Him, you'll want to honor Him in everything you do. If you fear Him, He'll come first, not in some things, but in all things. He'll be paramount in your life. You'll let nothing stop you from being where you need to be, doing what you need to be in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy to recognize those that walk in the fear of the Lord because they have the blessings of God upon their life. God's worship, God's prayer, and God's scripture are priorities. And everything that God says in the Word of God ought to take priority and precedence over our will. We ought to give God's will the preeminence in our life. The Lord's way becomes the only way. Well, let me change that. The Lord's way is the only way. It didn't become, it always was. A life lived outside of the fear of the Lord is easy to pick out. You look around, you see the people God's blessed. You look around, you see people that profess to be saved and that seem maybe He's blessed. I don't know, I have nobody in mind, not thinking. But I tell you, pick it out. I tell you, sometimes, as our brother mentioned, years ago I was assistant pastor down in Bradenton, Florida. Had a large youth group. And every now and then we would go to Disney World or somewhere like that. And you could always tell who our kids were. And we could always tell who somebody else's kids were. Many times for the way they act and things they did. The things of God have become secondary in the life of too many people. Other matters have been consistently placed ahead of His work, ahead of His will. And the kind of life, this kind of life is usually filled with trouble and trial. But when you become a child of God and you fear God, No more heartache, disaster outside of the fear of the Lord. There's no way God intended the Christian's life to be lived. Hopefully we can understand the fear of the Lord better. Hopefully we'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, and now we'll do what the Lord wants us to do. At this point, all we need to do is ask ourselves, am I living in the fear of the Lord? And I say to you, if you don't know, examine your life in the light of the Word of God and answer it honestly. Don't deceive yourselves. Some say, well, I'm doing all right. Friend, you can do all right, but you can still do all right to the point that you're not doing what is right according to God. If you know you're walking in the fear of the Lord, you should be challenged to go before the Lord. Get things settled with Him. Confess your sin. The Lord will help us all to walk in His reverential awe of Him, in His greatness, and in His glory. May His people always be a people that fear the Lord and prove it by living the Word of God. You know, somebody said, rightfully so, you're the only Bible that some people will ever read. You're the only Bible. Some people never get even a copy in their hand, and even if they do, they don't read it. But I tell you, if you interact with them and they see God in your life and you fear the Lord, if you fear the consequences of what you might get if you don't do what's right. Like I said, I'm not saying today that God wants them to sit shivering and shaking. Say, man, what's the Lord going to do to me next? No, He didn't say that kind of fear. He's talking about a fear that will motivate you to do the things that we mentioned this morning that will bring us to our knees, make us fall on our face and plead for God's help in our life. Friend, today one of the most, I know there's many great messages that are preached by many preachers, but it doesn't matter who preached this one. It's a great one. Not because I delivered it, but because the Word of God said it. And again, you may have problems with my delivery, and that's okay. But I gave you the Word of God. You cannot argue with the pure, simple truth of the Word of God.